Okay, today I'm going to be talking a bit about the Apostle Paul. Can I have the first slide, please? Okay, now this is not the Apostle Paul, obviously, but can anyone tell me who it is? It is Joe Pesci. Very good. Can anyone name two gangster films that he's appeared in? Anyone? Goodfellas is one. Another? Casino. Very good. Casino and Goodfellas. Now, in both these films, Joe Pesci plays the role of a middle-ranking gangster serving a kingpin who he's willing to do anything for. If he needs to get his hands dirty, no problem. He's your man. If someone needs to be rubbed out, bumped off, needs to disappear, he was the mobster to get it done. In both of these roles, his enthusiasm for his work is, you can see he's quite enthusiastic, even though what he's doing is quite wrong. And so it was with Paul before his encounter with Jesus. Now, we first learn about Paul, or Saul as he was known at this point, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen, a follower of Jesus, has been challenged to defend himself against charges of blasphemy. So he's brought before the leaders and elders of the high council, and he passionately defends himself. He maps out Israel's history from Abraham to Moses and directly challenges those who are accusing him. As we saw in the drama earlier, the high council was enraged. I know they didn't look quite enraged, but trust me, they were in reality. And they were really enraged at Stephen's counter-accusation, and they refused to listen. Some of his accusers rushed him, dragged him out of the city, and stoned him to death. Now, before doing this, they had the presence of mind to take off their coats, so presumably they didn't want to dirty them with the stones or with Stephen's blood. And they leave their coats with Saul. Shortly after the start of Acts chapter 8, it says this: Saul was one with the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Now, Saul was zealous about keeping the laws and traditions of the Jewish faith. He was a Pharisee, after all, and this good news, this gospel taught by Jesus, this new way, was seen as a challenge to hundreds of years of Jewish tradition. It was impossible for him to accept this new way. So after Stephen's death, a wave of persecution came against believers in Jerusalem, and many fled the city. So Saul was very much part of this drive. And it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, it says this: Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. So whether in Jerusalem or further away, Saul was passionate about persecuting these followers of Jesus. He wanted to destroy the church before it took hold. But one verse later, Saul was to have a dramatic encounter that would fundamentally and completely change him. Listen to this from Acts 9, verses 3 to 5. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." And then he says, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." It then says that Saul got up, and when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see a thing. He was totally blind and had to be led into Damascus by his companions. It says he was blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. At around this time, a man called Ananias was also in Damascus, but he was a follower of Jesus. He had a vision telling him to go to Saul and that he would find him praying, and that he himself was having a vision of his sight being restored after being prayed for. But Ananias had his doubts about going to Saul, and he says this, "But Lord, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord was having none of it, none of this doubt, and he tells Ananias to go to Saul in verse 16. It says, "Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel." So Ananias obeys and goes to Saul. He lays hands on him and he prays this in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. It says, "Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." It then goes on to tell us that instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. And then he got up and was baptized. So these were quite dramatic events for Saul. What was happening to him? Well, there was more drama to come. It then goes on to say that after resting and regaining his strength, he stayed with some believers in Damascus. And for a few days, after a few days, he then immediately began preaching in the synagogues about Jesus, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." Acts 9:21 says this, "All who heard him were amazed. 'Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem?' they asked. 'And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests?'" Indeed, this was the same man. But now he sees quite differently. His eyes have been opened to Jesus. And verse 22 goes on to say, "Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah." So Saul was now preaching with power, just like we read about with Stephen, that Stephen had been preaching with power. And just like with Stephen, people started being hostile towards Saul. They wanted to silence him. In fact, this hostility became so great that Saul had to be smuggled out of the city in the middle of the night in a basket. He then arrived back to Jerusalem, causing equal astonishment. And with his preaching about Jesus, again, some wanted to shut him up permanently. Added to this, some of the Jerusalem disciples were afraid of Saul because of his past reputation. They remember the persecution he was part of. Could this man really now be professing Jesus and doing this so passionately and powerfully? Can you imagine a greater contrast with how he was? Saul, who was in the Premier League of Jewish society, a Hebrew of Hebrews, the best of the best, a Pharisee sticking faultlessly to Jewish laws and traditions, persecuting and prosecuting anyone who failed and fell foul of the law. So yes, this Saul was now sold out for Jesus because of his experience on that Damascus road. He was a changed man, a transformed man. But now he was feeling the heat of persecution, feeling the naked anger of his fellow Jews, feeling the same hostility that was directed at Stephen, whose death Saul had agreed with. Now, the latter half of the book of Acts details Saul, now called Paul, on missionary journeys beyond Judea and Samaria to spread the good news about Jesus. His zeal for this work was boundless. This was now his passion, and it was to take him far and wide in the known world at the time. So here's a map showing the area covered during Paul's missionary journeys. So Paul's passion was now for Jesus, where before it had been for upholding religious laws. So I want to ask this question. What are you passionate about? What do you love? What is there something you have a zeal for? One of my passions is photography, especially street photography. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I love going out with my camera, and I love looking in galleries and reading books about photography. If I could, I would do that full time, but with a young family, it's impossible. But this passion, it really was responsible for me being in the career that I'm in now, which is in graphic design. And without it, I wouldn't have had this career. So we've heard about Paul's passion, and I've told you a little bit about my passion. So what about you? What passion do you have? Is it a sport? Is it a hobby? And what if Jesus wants to speak to you about himself through something you're passionate about? How might he be able to do that in you, in a hobby or a sport or through a talent that you have? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you've helped us to reveal and show you our hearts today. Father, thank you for your word that in learning about Paul, about his passion for you, Lord, that we can understand your power in changing hearts, in turning hearts away from things that are not good to things that are good. And Lord, we ask you that in the things that we are passionate about, Lord, to reveal yourself strong, Lord. Help us to see you today, Lord. And Father, I just pray that the zeal that we have for whatever area it might be, whether it's a sport, whether it's a talent, Father, I pray that you reveal yourself to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. As Paul mentioned earlier, we have a church lunch after the service. Mercy. We're going to continue with a bit of worship. But if there's a passion that you have in your hearts that you'd like to really develop, and so that it points to Jesus, I'd encourage you to stand with somebody that you can pray with, and ask them to pray with you, pray for you. You pray for each other. So maybe in groups of twos or threes, if you could perhaps do that. Sunday morning, the sun is shining. Not just outside, in our hearts as well, hopefully. And after the service today, we're going to be sharing lunch together, so I hope you'll all stick around. Now to open our service today, and we'll have Joseph read a scripture for us, and it's from Psalms 27, and it's verse 4.
I ask only one thing from the Lord. This is what I want. Let me live in the Lord's house all my life. Let me see the Lord's beauty. Let me look for him in his temple.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I just pray that you seal that verse in our hearts this morning, Lord. Father, help us to raise our voices to you, Lord. To keep in our minds that we want to see your beauty, we want to see your face. And by your Holy Spirit being in this place, Lord, we ask you to come. Amen. Amen. And so, we open with worship. Mercy, what's this first song we're going to be
10,000 Reasons, bless doing? The Lord.
10,000 Reasons.
Can we all stand up, please? And please get ready to dance. We're going to have fun with the Holy Spirit this morning. So, I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. I'm going to have a good time with the Lord today. I hope you are too. This kid.
What's up?
Amen. Hallelujah. Let us worship the Lord now. We worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Okay, the drama we're going to do is from Acts chapter 7. It's to do with Stephen. So I'm going to need a cast of characters. So, Joseph, how about you playing Stephen without the hat? Eliza, you're going to be the chief priest. So if you come over here. And Aseli, you're going to be Saul. Step this way. And we're going to need some people to play the crowd, elders and teachers of the law. So, maybe I should pick on a few people. Right, who am I going to pick on? Nick! Yay! Okay. Yvonne, would you like to come up? And Sinan, you want to come with Dad? Aini, do you want to come up? Kelechi? Okay. Now, we're going to have to get suitably dressed. The priest is Eliza. And you're going to have to have coats on. And the reason will become obvious. No, not you. Right, I'm going to be the narrator and generally bossing people about. So we're going to wait until they're suitably dressed. Let's make some space here. How's it coming along? You don't need all need hats, just, yeah. No. You're part of the crowd. You can put a hat on if you want, Nick. Okay, Joseph. You only show it when I... Okay, are we almost ready? Almost ready? Okay, so Stephen, you stand. I think we all need to come on this side. Okay, if you could all come on this side. Come over here. No, you stand here. On the stage might be better, yeah. Okay. You can tell we've had lots of rehearsal. Okay, let's clear the... Thank you, Vicky. Right, as I said, I'm the narrator. And so here we go. Now, Stephen, a young man living in Jerusalem, was richly blessed by God. Richly blessed. He prayed all the time, and great miracles and signs happened among the people. Do you want to pray, Joseph? Good. But some people were against Stephen because he spoke openly about God's love for us. He spoke openly about Jesus.
Jesus!
Many came and argued with Stephen about what he was saying, but they couldn't stop him. God blessed him to speak in love and with wisdom. Stephen's words were so powerful that they couldn't argue with him. They were lost for words. So they paid some men to make up stories against Stephen, saying, "We heard him say things against Moses and against God." This rumor upset many people and the elders and teachers of the law. They were all worked up. I think they were all worked up. So they grabbed Stephen and brought him before the chief priest. Okay. They said again, "This man is always saying things against Moses and against God." They also said, "He told us that Jesus would destroy this place and change the things that Moses told us to do." All the people were watching Stephen closely. His face looked like the face of an angel. Then the chief priest asked Stephen,
"Did you really say these things?"
Stephen answered by telling them about the history of Israel from Abraham to Moses. He told them that God had blessed his people and been faithful to them, but in return they wanted to do what they felt like instead of what God said to do. He told them that they were stubborn and they hated Jesus and had killed him.
Or stubborn.
When they heard this, they became very angry and shook their fists at Stephen. I think they were very angry. In fact, they were so mad, they were grinding their teeth as well. But Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit from God. He looked up to heaven and said, "Look, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Then some people started shouting and covered their ears with their hands. They ran at Stephen and took him out of the city to stone him. I think this is out of the city right here. They took off their coats and they left them with a young man called Saul. Take your coats off, come on. Then they picked up some stones. Hold on. They picked up some stones and started to throw them at Stephen. Stephen then prayed to Jesus, fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." After Stephen said this, he died. The end. My cast of characters. Okay, after that monumental performance, I'd like you all to stand up, please. This is a very exciting bit. Could you turn round to the person behind you and say, "Hello, how are you? Nice to meet you."
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Grab yourself a seat. If you're visiting or you're new, welcome to New Life. Today, one of our August Sundays, last of our August Sundays, special all age. The children are going to stay in this morning. In a moment, those preschool are going to make a move, but not just yet. Just grab yourself a seat, please. Grab yourself a seat. Find somewhere comfy. If you're visiting, big welcome this morning.
Fantastic.
Now, this Saturday coming, there's something very special happening. Liz, give Liz a big round. Come on down, Liz. Tell us what is happening on Saturday. Now, I don't know whether you can remember, but something special is happening on Saturday. What is it, Liz?
You guys tell me. Apparently, Daniel made a big show last week about our wedding. Yes, it's true. The rumors are true. I'm getting married to Daniel on Saturday. So yeah, it's come quickly. So anyway, everyone's invited to the ceremony at 2 p.m. the time I said the time. Chalk Farm Baptist Church, just up the road. And yeah, everyone's invited. There's canapes afterwards. We have tons of people involved from here. So Paul's running the ceremony, and yeah, we have all kinds of people coming. And yeah, it's going to be just a crazy, crazy day full of just all kinds of crazy stuff, actually. So if you put Daniel, you know, in charge of entertainment. Got to put him in charge of something. So so anyway. So yeah, hope you guys can all be there. I don't know. If you have any questions, we do have a gift list as well. Gifts are obviously not required, but people have been asking me, but we have one. If you have any other questions, just let me know. You can also text Daniel. I think a lot of you guys have Daniel's number. So let me know and hope to see you there.
Well done, Liz. Liz, congratulations. You got a bigger laugh than Daniel did. So there you go. Great. The church, on the church website, we have a promotional video. We just had that one, the video, freshly remade. Spencer, can you hit the lights out there for us, please? I'm going to show you the video. If you're not featuring the video, please don't be upset. I auditioned for the video, but I didn't make the cut. So they said I didn't have enough hair. So enjoy. This is the new promotional video for the church. Okay.
The first thing we experienced as a family was acceptance, respect, love, kindness, and we immediately felt that we were at home.
It was just so welcoming when I came, and everyone was just really friendly and welcoming, and I just felt like it was a really family-orientated place. And yeah, I was looking for a church that was like a mix of ages, mix of like backgrounds, cultures, and yeah, New Life just ticks all those boxes.
For us, it's been family, it's been a source of great blessing, a really strong sort of community to be part of, and I guess a community with a great purpose as well.
I've got a family here now, like I've got so many people my age, people a few years above, people a few years below. I feel like they give you like so much opportunity to be so involved. Yeah, it's like such a family here, such little brothers and sisters, and yeah, it's really cool.
And I get everything that I need here. I've grown so much since I've started coming here. So I love it.
Fantastic. Lights, please. Put the lights back on, Spencer. The lights back on. But so yeah, sorry if you didn't feature in that. They got the back of, they got a little side shot of me at one point, but that was all we managed. But never mind. Fantastic. So that's for the new church website. The website's very important for us. Obviously, we haven't got a physical building, and so the website's a key thing for us in terms of advertising what we're doing, what we're trying to do here at New Life. Thanks very much. Nick's going to tell us a little bit about ECOS, which is on today.
Yeah, I didn't even get a side shot. They were looking for the youngest elder, and Bob won the prize. Of course. After the meeting today at 12:15, as usual to our church lunches, we've invited some of our ECOS friends, people who want to improve their conversation, their listening and their speaking. They know it's church. They've got no idea what church is, so be a good representation. Ask you, I could do with a couple of ECOS people who help regularly at 12:15 at the door, because I want to just take the register and have two or three people to welcome people as they come. Actually, some of them normally come early, so that will be really helpful. And I've ordered some extra pizzas at 12:15, so I can't be there by myself. So any help out there will be welcome. When they come in, this is an ECOS badge, and we give it to the visitors. And so if you see someone wearing one of these, then don't barge them out of the lunch queue. What would be nice is if you actually said, hi, what's your name, where are you from, you know, what are you studying or whatever, and help them get some food and maybe just help them to a table. Once they're there, I'm sure everyone's going to be reaching out to chat to them. So thanks very much.
Just finally, we've got an international service coming up. Sabrina, can we have the international service pick? Just, we're going to launch this next Sunday properly, but just a date for the diary, 24th of September. We've had such a good time previous years, just having a real wonderful celebration of the amazing variety. London's an incredible place. Well, a unique place, really, in terms of the mixing of so many people. I'm not a Londoner. I come from Manchester, which feels like another country. And wherever you come from, it's just great to be able to celebrate together, especially International Day. It's a really good day to be able to invite friends, family along to. And so we're going to say a little bit more about that next week as we launch it. But date for the diary, it's the 24th. It's here, 10:30, 24th of September. So the Sunbeams now. So if you're preschool, parents of preschool, now's the time to make a move through the door. There's a special room we've got all equipped out with some activities for preschool. Preschool children, now's your chance to make a move out through the door over there. It'll be fantastic. David.